Yeah. 008.
What?
I'm talking to my tape recorder.
Oh, sorry. Said it, okay.
Monday night, the second shiur, Luchos HaShachar. So a few things just to try to go over in the first two sifim. First of all, is that really we do fulfill what the Mishnah Berurah says, that we should say the psukim before going into a shul. So we really do that when we say Matovu. That's the psukim of Matovu is really our chance to relate to what the Mishnah Berurah talks about, saying Beveis Alukim Nalach Barogesh. And we actually say the pasuk Ani Barov Chastachov Beisecha, realizing that, you know, it's good to reflect on it, realizing that it's a chesed Hashem that we could even, that Hashem allows us to daven, that we have the whole concept of tefillah, and we have a Beis Hashem Ani Barov Chastachov Beisecha. So we really say these psukim in Matovu, so instead of flying through it, you could always contemplate what it means. So we really do fulfill what the Mishnah Berurah talks about before he's in his Hakdama. Really, that's our Matovu, basically does that. Okay, that's one point. Another point that's good to mention is the Magen Avraham brings down, as other poskim do, that you should be, you should contemplate the mitzvahs yapu v'yachal kamocha before you start davening. You should just think that there's a special inyan, just like a minyan of people make up a tzibur to daven. So through contemplation of yapu v'yachal kamocha, there's, you know, whenever you daven, the whole davening is b'loshin rabin. Davening is really not the Lashon Yochid. A Tfilas Sibur is qualitatively different than a Tfilas Yochid, even if it's the same davening. Because the Baruch Hu responds to a Tzibur more. So that's why the Poskim say to think about the Atal Re'acha Kamocha before you start davening. It's a Ezer for the Tfilos to be Mekubal. If Hashem, it's like making a statement. I think the pshat is you're making a statement that you're not just davening like for yourself per se, even though we always think of ourselves when we daven, but you know, you have everyone else, you want all the Jews to be helped and all of that tzaras, whatever they may be. So that bonds together the tefillah and it makes it into a tefillah sibur. So if you contemplate V'yatalo Echa Kamocha, you give your tefillos that characteristic, you give it that maila, that it's a tefillah of Klal Yisrael, and it's more mekubal. That's probably, I think that's the pshat. Yeah. Yeah. Some of the brachos in Shmoneh Esrei obviously were different nusach, but it's brought down what the nusach was. It was a corresponding bracha, but it didn't talk about the Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt. It would be talking about the glory of the Beis HaMikdash that exists. You still have to say, asking Hashem to be mekabel the kabonos and its attendant tfilos, and so on and so forth. I mean, everything was still there. The Mishnayos and Tomit describe how they used to go and daven in the Beis Mikdash while they were waiting for the processing of the korbanos. Okay, that's the second point. Just a few points that I didn't mention yesterday as we went through the brachas. The Bichas HaShachar are brachas katsaros, it's called. They're not Poseach v'chosein v'boruch, they're just Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. Let's say Matir Asurim. And as such, you're not allowed to be mafsik in them. You can't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo, you can't say Amen, you can't answer Kedusha, you can't answer Yehi Shmei Rabba. You can't answer anything once you've said Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, actually. If you just said Hashem, you could always say Landeni Chukecha and get away with that. But once you're into the bracha, there's no hefsekim that are allowed. No. That, for that reason, it's not necessary. Because we're knowing that everybody makes their own bracha. So you're just having in mind not to be yotze, but it is bracha. And there's a separate Indian. You should always say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. But it seems to always get in the way. It's a response to the Shem Hashem. It's based on the pasuk Yishem Hashem Ekra Havugodel Elokeinu. So when you hear the Shem Hashem in the context of a bracha, you respond with a bracha Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. However, there are those achrayim, the Gra included in them, that point out that Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo always seems to get in the way of the Amen. And it gets in the way of the bracha. And by the time you finish saying Baruch Baruch Shemo, the chazan is like on the next page already. And that's why in the 100 min minyan, we don't say Baruch Baruch Shemo by Chazaras Hashatz. We focus on the Amen, on answering Amen properly, which has its own set of rules. Amen, how long it has to take, what you're supposed to think about when you say Amen. And that's already like a thing in itself. And Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo just gets in the way of Amen. That's what studies have found, my studies. And if you don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, it's much easier to concentrate. Let's say Chazaras Hashatz is a good example. It's much easier to concentrate on the bracha that the Chazan is saying and to answer just Amen properly, a proper Amen, if you don't have to keep Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Okay. Like here, you know, most Chazan say Baruch Hu Hashem, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, Matre, like, you miss the whole bracha. He's ready by the next bracha by the time you're finished. You know, maybe I'm a reformed rabbi, but I've stopped saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. And you focus on the Amen, but you have to answer Amen properly. Amen should take around, you saw my thing I wrote up, 2 seconds. And it takes 3/4 of a second. 1 second. Amen should take 1 second, and it takes a half a second. And it should take 1 second. And you have to think about the bracha that was just made, and you're answering that it should come true, or it is true. Okay, let's move on. Anosim Lasech Vivina. So there's really two shatim in the Rishonim, what Sechvi refers to in the bracha. Whether it refers to the rooster, or whether it refers to a person's understanding. However, even if it refers to the rooster, certainly, you know, Pokei Achivrim, we know what we're talking about. Malbush Harumim, we know what we're talking about. Even if you hold that the word Sechvi in the bracha means a rooster, we're not making a bracha on the pleasure of hearing a rooster. Maybe there are some Achronim that suggest that that is the case, that, you know, a new dawn breaks, like when you're in an alarm clock, you can make a bracha when you hear an alarm clock. Ah, a fresh day. But you really, I mean, what are you making a bracha when you say, I know it's not a zechavina, I'm going to get a What are you thanking Hashem for? You thank Hashem for another day? It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like that. Well, you are in a sense, but not just the creation of another day in the sense of time. It's not like Modani Lefanecha, that Hashem gave you back your neshama and you're alive another day. It's more the difference between night and day. That night, you know, we don't feel it so much because of electric lights. But night is an unproductive time. Al pi kabbalah midas hadin is shaylat at night. Day is midas harachamim. You have the shadim are around at night. The hocus pocus shadim. Day is when you're productive. Day is when you do things. It's almost symbolic. But that's what day represents. When you say Hashem is mavdul ben yom uvein loyla, mavdul ben or lechoshech, it means there's a time set aside to rest and to refresh your kaychis, and a time put aside to work and be productive and to accomplish. That's what Yom is. It's amazing how, really, like the electric light blurred the difference between night and day. Some doctors attribute a general downward trend in mental health from when the electric light was invented. People don't sleep enough, they're stressed out. There's no natural boundary of day and night. It's like one big glob of time. Certainly there's a doctor in Bayit Vegan, a famous child's doctor, that attributes 80 to 90% of children's problems in school to the fact that they don't get enough sleep. Like my son, I want that issue. A 10-year-old definitely needs 12 hours of sleep. And what 10-year-old needs 12 hours of sleep? That's ridiculous. My son goes to sleep probably close to 10 o'clock. He has to get up a quarter to 7. He's not even sleeping 9 hours a night. Adults also, the stress, tension, there's no natural boundary. So I think you thank Hashem, really, for something that's gotten lost in the modern age, the difference between night and day. Night is to chill out, relax, you're supposed to learn at night, because you don't have anything to do. There's nothing to do at night. That's what's supposed to, like, conceptually, that's what's supposed to be. Like, the world shuts down at night. But it stops shutting down at night. And now, especially, you got the stock markets in Japan just opened. But that's the bracha noisim l'sech v'ivina. All the brachos ha-shachar, except for two, you can make in the middle of the night when you wake up. If you wake up at 1 in the morning, if the chatzos, you can make all the brachos ha-shachar except for two. But you can't make ha-noisim l'sech v'ivina until ha-lois ha-shachar. Some say even later when it starts getting light. And amavir sheino me'enoi, you shouldn't make until you're up and you're going to stay up. Let's say you get up at 1 o'clock in the morning and you can't sleep. So you're going to learn or read for an hour and then you're going to go back to sleep. So if it's after chatzos, you theoretically could make all the birchas ha-shachar. You could make all the birchas ha-shachar. You could if you want to. You cannot make hanois l'sech v'ivina because it's before alois. And you should not make hamavir sheino me'eno yisro ma'en v'poi, because you're going to go back to have a shinas kva while it's still night. You shouldn't say a lakadu shomosh and a sata be either. If you're going to have a shinas kva when it's night, then you shouldn't say a lakadu shomosh and a sata be or hamavir sheino me'eno. And you can't say a lakadu shomosh and a sata be until it's a lois ha'shachar. Okay. These are important points. It's not connected inside, but it's important. Kudos. What? The order is not ma'akev. Only in two sets of brachas is the order ma'akev. One is we didn't have yet, goy over isha. The order is ma'akev. If you say isha, then you can't say the other two anymore. Once you said Shalom Asani Yisha, you can't say the other two already. And also, Mater Asurim and Zokef Kfufim also have to be first Mater Asurim and then Zokef Kfufim, because included in Zokef Kfufim is Mater Asurim. So once you say that, you don't say that. But if you're thinking of Amech Mitzadei Gover and Hoysali Kotzorki and Roikara Tzolamoyim that you always confuse, because in Ashkenaz and in Svar they're in a slightly different order. So Rabbi Milinowitz says they're just supposed to show you should daven from the siddur. Instead of mumbling off the brachas as you're running to shul in the morning, I'm late. Not you, Chas Shalom. I don't mean you. I mean other people. You should not do it from a sitter and spend 1.3 seconds contemplating what the bracha is about. You want to go through the bracha? Should we make a Perush Tefillah class? I'd love to. When I became the rabbi here, I offered to give any class if there's 10 people that want it. So far, I'm safe. Haven't had to lift a finger. Okay. It's important. I want to repeat something I talked about yesterday that's important. There's Birchas Hamemim, Birchas HaMitzvahs, and Birchas HaShevach. Birchas HaMitzvahs, we know what it is. Birchas HaNenim, we know what it is. Birchas HaShevach is when you experience... Birchas HaShevach is like a borderline type thing. You experience something, let's say, you see the Yamagodl. You say, Baruch Adar Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, also say Yamagodl, or Oysa Ma'aseh Bereishis, thunder, lightning. You see Mishana Brios, you see animals, certain kinds of animals. So it's called, those are called Birchas HaShevach. So on one hand, you know, if someone would ask you, if I'm going to see the Yom HaGadol and I have to make a bracha, so maybe I should blindfold myself and make the bracha and then take off the blindfold. Now, Birchas HaShevach you make after you experience the pleasure, after you see what you've seen, after you relate to whatever it is you see, and you then you make the bracha. Then you're ready to praise Hashem after you've had that experience. On the other hand, as we said yesterday, it's based on Hanah. It's based on the idea of Osir La'odam Lehonos Menoylam Azebeli Bracha, that you're not allowed to derive pleasure from the world without acknowledging that Hashem provided it to you. You make a Kiddush Hashem in that way. You acknowledge that Hashem is the Creator and He provided it for you to have pleasure from. So that's why we're going to have a machlekes about, if you don't experience the pleasure, whether you make these brachas. Like, how much of it is true Birchas Hananin? Like, nobody holds. Well, it depends. You see, that's why the Gemara has a person making each bracha as he experiences the pleasure. Then it says in Sivbeis, we don't do it that way because our Yadayim are not Nikios, and the Ami Haaretz won't know exactly when to make the bracha and what bracha to make. But the question is if the fundamental nature of the bracha changed. Now, it's in the Gemara, you're making it as you experience the pleasure. It's more like a Birchas Hananim. Did that change? Did Chazal, when Chazal said, don't make it that way anymore, go to shul and be mesader it, and you could have experienced the pleasure of Roika Ha'aretz al Hamoyim for 2 hours already, till you got around to saying Birchas HaShachar. Is it more Birchas HaShevach? And therefore the Shitas hold that even if one day you happen not to experience that pleasure, still you make the bracha, because you're making the bracha on Minhag Shel Olam, or it still retains the fundamental nature of it being a Birchas Hananim. And therefore, if you happen not to experience the pleasure that day, then you wouldn't make the bracha. Why do we allow 2 hours to elapse between your having the Hanah and your making the bracha? So that's because of Ein Yodam Dekiyos. So we, as a practical matter, they set it up a certain way. But it still retains its basic Birchas Hananim nature. That's the shaila that we're going to have, and it's going to crop up a few times in Hilchos Brachos. For example, if you don't hear the rooster, no, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam hold, if you don't hear the rooster, you don't make the bracha. Besides, if sechvi doesn't mean a rooster, if sechvi means your lathe, so then you experience the pleasure when you wake up and you look outside and it's daylight. It's only if sechvi means rooster that you can have a shayla. What happens if you didn't hear the call of the rooster that day? But you have the famous shayla of shoes on Tisha B'av. And on Yom Kippur, you don't wear shoes. No one's allowed to leave. Sorry. Anoisa Masech Rivina we discussed. Goy other than Isha. Okay, Achivrim. Everybody cool with that? It's a Shaila. Why men say it? Because people with sight help him exist. He's happy that people have sight because they cross in the street. Okay. Ma'ol b'sharumim. The difference between an animal and a person. You can ask me about before the Chet of Adam Arishon, did they make Ma'ol b'sharumim? Presumably not. But after the Chet of Adam Arishon, cover up your erva, cover up the Mokam Busha, cover up your chumrius, an aspect of tznius. Matar asurim and zokef kfufim. What's Matar Asurim? Matar Asurim is that you can move, you're not paralyzed. That your limbs move. Your rotator cuff is in shape, not like Whitey Ford. You know Whitey Ford? On the Yankees. His rotator cuff was always out of place. Would move his hand. Del Stadelmeyer. Yeah, now I'm talking your language more. But he was a pitcher before he was a pitching coach. He was a big pitcher for the Yankees. Anyway, Del Stadelmeyer. Anyway, he could move. Zokef Kefufim is that you're upright. You're upright. Animals are not upright. It's a kavod for a person that he's not kafuf, he's upright, and he walks upright. The Maral says that you see the difference between a man and an animal. So which animal walks upright? No. Penguin. So that's in Shelos Achuvis Zoo Rabbi. Someone wrote him in that they learned the Maral that one of the distinguishing characteristics between a man and an animal is that a man walks upright and an animal walks on all fours. What about a penguin? Yeah, I'm not going to answer you. You have to look at Chael Sechuma Zoo Rabbi. What? Penguin walks upright. Penguin just won an Oscar award. A movie about a penguin just won the Oscar award. The Oscar award was just won by a very Meredith movie. It's almost a documentary about how penguins live. Meredith, an unbelievable movie. It won the Oscar award, which is a big kiddush. About how the penguins live. You don't know, they travel hundreds of miles. Like, you have no idea what goes on in the Bria. You're sitting there, Mad Beit Shemesh, I don't know what's going on in the Bria. A movie about how penguins live. It's unbelievable. Anyway, penguins walk upright. Matar Asurim is that you're not paralyzed. Zokef Kefufim is that you're upright. Roka Oretz Al Hamoyim. What day of the Bria did that happen? You learn Chumash. What?
Which day?
Yeah.
The third.
He talks with an accent. Third. Yeah, number three. Rokar Arts on Amoyim. Shoshali Kartzorki is shoes. Shoes bespeaks man's mastery over the animal world. A shoe, halachically, is with awe of an animal. Not sneakers. That you're wearing rags on your feet. But you, a halachic shoe is with or of an animal. It separates man from the chumrius of this world. On a practical level, it enables you to do things. If you go without shoes, Shul protects. You have to learn the sugya in Yuma. It's not so. There's a whole sugya with Rishonim having to do with the inui of Yom Kippur of not wearing shoes. Shoes protect your feet. They support. It gives support. Even though I used to wear earth shoes, I loved my earth shoes. Who remembers earth shoes? Nobody. Earth shoes, they made it according to the natural contour of the feet, that the weight was on the front of the foot, not the back. There was like no support on the back, on the sole. And they took footprints of people walking in bare feet in the sand, and they tiny. This is a natural posture of a person, and shoes are unnatural. So they made something, and they called it the earth shoe. And I loved them. They were so comfortable. I and they went out of business because nobody was buying them except for me. What's it called? Oh, where do you get them? Oh, I loved them. They were so comfortable. But I wonder if they're good for your feet, because there is an Indian of wearing shoes, shasali called tzarki, that gives the human body support, some support that it needs. Okay. But find out for me. They were my favorite shoe. Now I wear SAS shoes. You know who owns the company? Chef Herschel's brother. Chef Herschel's brother is Mr. SAS. Yeah. Chef Herschel's brother. SAS shoes. SAS. They're excellent shoes. I recommend them. Really good shoes. Very comfortable. Very good. It took me years to find a good shoe, by the way. It took years till I found the right shoe. It's very hard. A lot of junk out there. SAS. I found it at Fort Mukhtaritz as well. Baruch Hashem. Mechim Mitzadei Gover. Mechim Mitzadei Gover is that you walk upright. Maybe that's more like the penguins. That you walk upright. Zokef Kefufim is that. It's just the way you're built. That your head is on top, like a person's built in a mechubadik way. With the lower part of the body. Like he's built like a. With chashivus. With the lower part of the body down and this part up. But I guess Hamechim Mitzadei Gover is how he walks. So that he walks like a, he walks upright. Ozei Yisrael Begvura is. Again, that's an Indian of Tznius. That's why we say Yisrael. And Ote Yisob Sephora is an Indian of a Yamakor, a hat. The idea of covering your head to have your Eshemayim. Okay, we'll stop here. It's late. Maybe we'll continue. Maybe we should turn this.